I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, we're going to be looking at chapter 2, beginning in verse 8 today. If you're here today and have a Bible and not sure exactly where Luke chapter 2 is, the page is printed for you in the bulletin for the red Bibles that are in the chairs around you. I'm going to read chapter 2, verse 8, down through verse 21. As we continue on in our Advent series, looking at these four hymns of the first Advent, the first Christmas. Today, the hymn of the angels and the shepherds. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for giving us this portion of your word to consider today. We pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts through the work of the Holy Spirit. Help us to see what you want us to see from this part of your word. But above all things, help us to see Jesus. And as we do, Father, fill us with the joy and the peace that are ours because of the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Can you remember a time in your life when you were greatly afraid? Filled with fear, terrified. One of those times for me was December the 28th, 1980. I know the date because it was my birthday, my 10th birthday. I had called together a group of my friends and family, and we were having an overnight party at our house. We went out all together to dinner at my favorite restaurant, and as we were coming back to the house, my dad pulled the car into the garage, and we piled out of the car and started to make our way into the house. And when we got to the door that goes from the garage to the house, it was locked. That door was never locked. My dad took out his key and unlocked the door, and we began to go in, and that's when we found out we had been robbed. As we came in, the door going out to the backyard was wide open. The dog was cowering in the corner. Some bundles of my mom's inherited sterling silver were still left on the floor. Apparently, we had pulled into the garage while the robbers were still in the house, and they locked the door to slow us from coming into the house. They ran out the backyard through the woods to a car that was waiting for them a street over. We walked through the house, and we saw drawers and cabinets that were flung open and contents that were out on the counter and on the floor. The police came and made a report, and they showed us how the thieves had removed the deadbolt from the door to get into the house. Based on how they got in, based on what they took and what they left, the police were convinced that these were professional thieves that had robbed our house. My friends and I slept in the basement together in our sleeping bags, all huddled together, several of us with baseball bats. It was a terrifying night. Just even thinking about having people you don't know in your house, invasion of privacy. Now, even though I can remember being that afraid that night, being filled with fear throughout the night, my fear that I had at that moment probably pales in comparison with the fear that these shepherds were dealing with. There are around 100 recorded incidents in the Bible of angels showing up and appearing to humans. And there's almost a universal response that we read when those events take place. And that is the people that experience the angels are filled with fear. Some even falling down on their face in fear. And the fear that these shepherds experienced was probably particularly significant. Because not only are they in the presence of an angelic being who serves the holy God in heaven, but we're told that the glory of God enveloped them. The glory of the perfect, holy, sovereign, omnipotent, eternal God of the universe was shining all around them. It's no wonder that we're told that they were filled with a great fear. But did you notice something must have happened to them? Because 12 verses later, we read about the shepherds going home rejoicing, celebrating, worshiping, praising the Lord. During this Advent season, we've been looking at these four hymns in Luke chapters 1 and 2, and we've talked about how hymns can have a significant impact on our lives. They can change us, they can form us, they can help us to grow in our faith. And we've been looking at these hymns of the first Advent, the first Christmas, and seeing how we might be changed by them, these ancient biblical hymns. A few weeks ago, we looked at Mary's Magnificat. Then we looked at Zechariah's Benedictus. Today we're looking at the angels' Gloria and the Song of the Shepherds. So let's take a few moments and look at this passage and see the song of the angels, the song of the shepherds, and then let's consider how we might be able to sing like they do. So first of all, the song of the angels. You can see this described for us in verses 8 through 14. We're told that there were some shepherds out in a field and they were watching over their flock. They were protecting it, keeping it safe from thieves, from animals, keeping it safe from itself, the sheep doing bad things to themselves. And then out of nowhere, we're told an angel appeared and the shepherds were filled with a great fear and the glory of God enveloped them. And then the angel spoke to them. Now we'll look at what he said to them in just a second. But notice in verse 13, we read that all of a sudden, a multitude of the heavenly host showed up as well. Now we don't know how big a multitude is, but the sense is there are a lot of angels here. And they're described as the heavenly host. That has the sense of an army of angels of heaven. And if that wasn't startling enough to have this army of angels appear, we read at the end of verse 13 and verse 14 that they started praising the Lord. They started singing and worshiping the Lord. Now, before we look at what they sang, let's look at why they were singing. Look at verses 10 and 11 and 12. The reason they were singing had to do with what the angel told the shepherds. In verse 10, he says, "Do not be afraid." He was there to give them good news, not bad news. And he says that this good news that he is bringing to them would bring great joy. Not a little bit of joy. It would bring great joy. And this good news that would bring great joy, it would be for all the people. Regardless of nationality, financial status, ethnicity, social status. So what was the good news of great joy for the people? Well, we see it in verse 11. Someone had been born that day. Someone had been born in Bethlehem, the city of David. And that someone was the long-promised and the long-awaited Savior, the Christ, the Lord. Did you notice the angel uses all three of those terms to describe him? He is the Savior. He is the Deliverer, the Rescuer, the Redeemer, the one who would raise up the horn of salvation that Zechariah sang about. The one who would accomplish forgiveness for sins that Zechariah sang about. But he's also the Christ. Now, that's the Greek translation of the Hebrew word for Messiah, the anointed one. He is the one who is set apart and has been designated for the accomplishing of the work of redemption. But he's also the Lord. That's the Greek word for the Hebrew word Yahweh, the sovereign covenant name that God gave to his people for himself. This baby that is born in Bethlehem is no less than God himself, the second person of the Trinity, God in human flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And notice the angel goes on to give them a sign to the shepherds to confirm what he is saying to them. He told them that they would find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, it could have been very possible that when they got to Bethlehem, there could have been lots of babies that had been born recently. But there was only one that was lying in a feeding trough. Think of it. That the multitude of the heavenly host ministered to and served Jesus before his incarnation. We can imagine that they knew what was about to happen. They knew the plan of redemption. They had a sense of what was going to take place, how God himself was going to be born into the world, how God himself would be the promise that would be fulfilled. The Savior, the Christ, the Lord himself is going to be born as a human baby to begin the work of redemption. And now it had happened. That very night, Mary had given birth to Jesus, the Savior. The work of redemption was beginning. The multitude of the heavenly host sang because the gospel of grace was beginning to be unveiled. Well, what did they sing? We see that in verses 13 and 14. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." They praised the Lord by praising his glory. God's glory. Glory to God in the highest. Not glory to anyone else. God gets all the glory for the plan of redemption, the gospel of grace. And it's the glory in the highest, to the greatest degree, above all other glory. Those who are in Christ get no credit for their salvation. The only thing we contribute is our sin. God gets all the glory for his plan of salvation and for working that plan out in human history and for accomplishing the plan through the incarnation and the life and death and resurrection of his Son and our Savior, Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. But that's not all that they sang. They didn't just sing about the glory of God. They also sang about shalom, about peace. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now, if you're looking at the ESV translation, or if you're looking at the NASB or the NIV, then it says what I just read. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. That's an accurate translation of the Greek phrasing there. There are some other translations that actually skew what the Greek says there. Other translations might say, on earth peace and goodwill toward men. That's actually not what the Greek says. On earth peace among those with whom God is pleased. The point that the angels were making is that what God was doing was accomplishing peace for his people. For those who put their faith in that baby that was born that night in Bethlehem, in Jesus, they have peace. Not some generalized world peace for all, like the Pax Romana, that term that was coined in the first century for describing the long period of peace, political, social, economic peace that was established by the Roman government for the people in the first and second centuries. No, what the angels are singing about was a different kind of peace, a biblical shalom, a peace with God. Because of Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden, the peace that they had with God initially was broken. Now there was alienation between God and his people. And as Paul said, we are enemies to God. But through Jesus Christ, these angels are singing and reminding the shepherds, telling the shepherds and reminding us that for those in Christ, the enemies have become adopted children. In the place of alienation and war, there is peace, peace with our Creator God. So why did the angels sing? They sang because the long-promised and awaited Savior had arrived. The plan of salvation was being unveiled. The work of redemption had begun in the birth of the Savior, the Christ, the Lord, Jesus. And what did they sing? Glory to God in the highest, and peace between God and His people through Jesus Christ. Well, what about the shepherds? We read about the shepherds in verses 15 through 20. They sang a hymn of sorts as well. In verses 15 through 20, we read that when the angels left, they went to Bethlehem. And they found the newborn Jesus, just as they had been told, lying in a manger. And what did they do? Well, they shared with Joseph and Mary and the others that were there what had happened with the angel that appeared to them. And what had happened with the multitude of the heavenly host. And notice the response in verse 18. Everybody that was there wondered at what they were told, at what had happened to the shepherds. But there was another response. We see that in verse 19, a deeper response. It was a response of Mary. We're told that she treasured these things in her heart, that she pondered them in her heart. Now, the word there that is used for ponder is sumbalusa. And in the Greek, it has the sense of somebody, a person that is puzzled by something that they've heard, but they keep it in mind. They keep thinking about it in order to understand it. We aren't given very much information in the Bible about Mary's faith journey. But what we do know is this, from John chapter 2 and Acts chapter 1, that eventually Mary is with the disciples and others worshiping Jesus for who He said He was. Then we read the shepherd's hymn in verse 20. What did they sing? Well, we don't know. We're actually not told what they sang specifically. We're only told that they left Mary and Jesus glorifying and praising God. Maybe they used the hymn that they had heard the angels sing, glorifying God for His glory and the peace that God established between Himself and His people. Maybe they had heard Mary's Magnificat or Zechariah's Benedictus and used that to praise the Lord. We don't know what they sang, but we do know why they sang. They were glorifying and praising God, it says in verse 20, because all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. They had just had quite an experience. They had been visited by an angel. They had been participants in seeing the heavenly host singing about the glory of God and the peace of between God and His people. They had been given the good news of great joy. They had gone and seen Jesus Himself. It was all true. It was all real. The Savior, the Christ, the Lord Himself had come into the world, and as a result, the shepherds were moved to praise and to glorify and to worship the Lord. So how can we be moved and changed and shaped to be able to sing like the angels and the shepherds? Four things as we finish up today. How can we sing like the angels and the shepherds? Well, the first thing is this. We must understand why the shepherds were afraid. Verse 9 tells us that the shepherds were not just afraid, they were filled with great fear. The Greek is phobon megon. That can be translated great fear or terribly frightened or terrified. Or if you have the King James, sore afraid. Why were they so terrified? It's because they were in the presence of an angel who lived in the presence of God. And not only that, that they were surrounded by the glory of the Lord themselves. In the darkness of the night, They were surrounded by the blinding and dazzling light of God's glory, the same glory that changed Moses' face when he experienced it. And the right response of sinful human beings in the presence of the glory of God is fear. Great fear. That happened to the very first sinful human beings, Adam and Eve in the garden. Before they sinned, Adam and Eve enjoyed the presence and the fellowship and the glory of the Lord in the garden. But immediately after they sinned, everything changed. Genesis 3 tells us this. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And Adam said to the Lord, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Why were they afraid? It's because they were sinners in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the glory of God. They had just tried to be God. They had believed the lie of Satan, and it failed. And now the ones who had tried to be God were in the presence of the glory of the one true God. And so they were terrified, filled with great fear. If we want to sing like the angels and the shepherds, we have to understand that fear. Apart from Christ, sinners that we are, in the presence of the holy and sovereign Creator God, the right response is fear. The glory of the Lord cannot abide sin and unrighteousness. It will not abide it. And if you are here today and you are not in Christ, you should feel this fear. The fear of eternal judgment. The fear of alienation from God. The fear of never experiencing the glories of heaven. Apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ, being filled with great fear is the real reality. But if we want to sing like the angels and the shepherds, we not only have to understand this fear, we also have to understand why the shepherds were told not to fear. The angel told the shepherds, fear not. Put away your phobon megon. Why? Because Jesus is born. The solution to our problem of sin has arrived. The solution to our alienation from God, our being enemies with God, the way that we can have peace with God had arrived. Fear not because of the gospel. The good news of great joy is that the baby Jesus grew up, and every moment of his life was perfect and personal love and obedience to his Father in heaven. In every way, he was perfectly faithful to the law of God. And rather than just giving us an example and then us being doomed to try to follow it, he solved the problem of our sin. He was crucified on the cross, and he had the wrath and the anger and the justice of God because of our sin poured out on him to such an extent that he was forsaken. My God, he cried out, why have you forsaken me? Our sin was put on Jesus, and he paid for it in full by dying on the cross. And then 3 days later, he defeated death by coming back to life and being resurrected from the grave. And then he ascended to heaven, and he serves there even now as our advocate. And he's promised that he's coming back. He's coming back for us, and he is bringing a new heaven and a new earth where we will dwell with him together for eternity without sin, disease, discouragement, depression, broken bodies, and especially without death. That's why the Lord says, fear not to those who believe and trust in Jesus, who have embraced him as their Lord and Savior, who are in Christ. As our fear of judgment and hell and alienation and enmity is removed, we should be moved to sing like the angels and the shepherds. Thirdly, if we want to sing like the angels and the shepherds, we must own the joy and the peace that are ours. Right? Can we just be honest and we can admit that it is easy to live in this world with heaviness and discouragement and discontentment. It's completely understandable that we would feel that way. We live as fallen human beings in a fallen world with other fallen human beings. And it can feel heavy and discouraging. We can feel disillusioned. We can feel discontent and unsatisfied and as if we are at enmity. But these hymns that we are looking at and our hymn today reminds us that there is a joy and a peace that is objectively ours in Christ Jesus. This joy and this peace are not feelings. They are objective truth. They are objective realities because of the person and work of Jesus. And in the moments when we have a lack of a sense of joy and peace in our lives, we need to remind ourselves of what is true. There is good news of great joy. There is peace for those with whom God is pleased, for those who are in Christ. Those are ours to own, to experience, albeit imperfectly in this life. Now, hear me say, this does not mean that we should never feel down or never feel discouraged or never feel heavy or never be depressed. Of course we will. Even seasons of feeling those things, because we live on this side of heaven. But when we do find ourselves feeling that way, when we find ourselves in those seasons, we must go to God's Word and have it remind us of what is true. To be reminded again of the good news of great joy, of the peace that God has with His people. And as we meditate on that joy and peace that are ours and treasure them up and ponder them in our hearts, we'll be moved more and more to sing like the angels and the shepherds. Fourthly and finally, if we want to sing like the shepherd, like the angels and the shepherds, then like the shepherds, we need to see this thing. You remember how the shepherds responded? When the angels left them, we read it in verse 15 and the beginning of verse 16. They said, we need to go see this thing. We need to go see this thing that we have been told. And then they left in haste, with a sense of urgency, immediately to go see Jesus. It reminds us of other places in the Scripture where similar things are said. John chapter 12, we read about this part of the story of Jesus' life. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. And so these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Or we think of Luke chapter 9, verse 23, where Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The shepherds surely didn't understand everything that was going on, at least to the degree that we do now. But they got enough from what the angels told them and sang to them that they knew that they needed to go see this thing that they were being told about. They needed to go see Jesus. And so they went with haste. And it certainly appears when they left with some level of a desire and need to follow Jesus. If we want to sing like the angels and the shepherds, we need to see Jesus. We need to go to Jesus and embrace Him and take up our cross and follow Him. That should be a conscious thought every day, an intentional plan. Today, I want to see Jesus. Today, I want to follow Jesus. Following Him and growing in our knowledge of and obedience to His Word. Growing in our love and knowledge of the Lord Himself. Growing in our love for our neighbors and one another. Growing in living out the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Every day when we get out of bed, we should make the conscious, intentional, deliberate decision, today I will see Jesus. Today, I will follow Jesus. The more that we do that, the more we will be changed and able to sing like the angels and the shepherds. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the message that these shepherds heard, this first announcement of the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the announcement of good news, of great joy, of peace between you and your people through the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to meditate on these wonderful truths, not just in this season when we think about Jesus' first coming, his first advent, but every day, Father, as we seek and long after Jesus' second advent, when he will come again and bring the new heavens and the new earth, as we wait, as we seek to see Jesus and follow him in our lives, fill us with the joy, the peace, and the hope that are ours because of all that he accomplished. We ask this in his name. Amen.